that is not able to remit back to the value case how much has spent, then you really...
Apologies there for that poor connection to him. But I want to hear from you, 055-111-1997, especially if you are in the Shanti Regional Capital tonight and you've heard that feud erupt. It has escalated quite significantly tonight after we heard from the Shanti Regional Minister. He says he is not going to apologize. He's not going to withdraw the case from court. And he's actually accusing the ECG now of presenting to him fraudulent bails. Well, the good thing is we've heard from the ECG senior staff. They will protest, but they have you in mind. They're going to make sure that whatever the protest they lay out will not affect the supply electricity to your homes. Let me hear from you. Newsnight in a minute.
You, yes, you. You listening to me on the radio?
I know exactly what you need.
And I go sort you out.
But first, a quick introduction.
Maybe the connection man.
I'll make things happen.
Whether it be business,
fashion, or the latest trend in town,
I go connect you.
I know when people connect.
Make things they happen.
I am the plug to your plug.
Anything you want,
I sort you.
I go show you where options
they line them up for you.
You want download or you want stream?
Link up.
I got you.
I conquer everywhere.
From Circle to Kijitia.
Fiyakuma to Navrongo.
Fiyosu to Kita.
Techima to Kumbungu.
I'll be the link between you and the next big opportunity.
It be me where I go connect you, make it happen.
Oh,
you won't know my name. I am Telecel.
Switch to Telecel for the best value voice and data services and connect to the things that matter. Connecting dreams. Connecting goals. Connecting passions.
Telecel. Connecting energies.
Great news is here. BetMat is here again. XXL clearance sale. Guaranteed savings. From now till the end of April, the big sale continues. Get discounts of up to 70% off sanitary wares, lights, tiles, waterproofing, and all other product families. It's the year to get things done. Visit our showroom at the North Industrial Area next to the Winners Chapel, Ghana. Don't miss out. BetMat, welcome home.
Tonight, damning findings in Ghana's pension scheme as fresh report reveals the Social Security and National Insurance Trust may not be able to pay full pension benefits by 2036.
2037, mm-hmm. That is 5 years down. As we speak, another actuarial valuation was put out in January this year, and the figure has come down to 2036.
Details as president of Imani Africa calls on organized labor to sue government for mismanagement and late remittance of deductions.
I think the workers should also go for lawyers. And I think, yes, they should be able to sue the government to make sure that these monies are paid immediately they are received. It's very important.
Also tonight, a future Chief Justice may not be one with only a Ghanaian citizenship. He may actually hold dual citizenship. We hear from a CDD fellow who is making a clarion call on Ghanaians not to worry.
Sierra Leone, Botswana, South Africa, all these countries have dual citizens actively participating, and nothing has happened. Mm. In Ghana, there are people who are dual citizens who are intimately related to the decision-making process.
Right.
Much more than single citizens.
Also, tonight evening, before the December 7 polls, it appears NDC members may be sharing positions. We hear from the NDC national chairman, who is warning party members and supporters against sharing of positions in a future NDC government, cautioning the party has not yet won political victory.
A lot of people have begun taking positions and fighting over who will be what in the next government. Go for the hunting first, and when we kill the game, we now argue about how to share the meat.
We also hear from the party's flag bearer, John Mahama, who says he has not prepared any appointment list.
Let me say that I don't have any list. And so for those of them who were referred to by general as having chosen their positions, you may be very, very deeply disappointed.
More from the adoring of the NDC 2024 running mate, where speaker after speaker launched a tirade against the vice president, Mahmoud Bawumia, who they accused of debasing the office of the vice president.
We have seen the office that she hopefully is going to assume brought to its lowest level. That office has become the epitome of deception, the epitome of lack of credibility, the epitome of lack of trustworthiness.
She is a woman who will bring honesty and truth back to the office of the vice president.
In business, economist Professor Lord Mensah warns further delays in concluding debt restructuring exercise with bilateral creditors will continue to cause city depreciation.
And as well, we hear from the Northern Regional Football Association chairman, who has expressed confidence in Dreams FC to pull a surprise against Zamalek for a spot in the final of the CAF Confederations Cup.
And you want to stay with us for that and more all here on News Night.
What kind of training your leaders are training you? Point a gun at your colleague personnel. Now you fire him.
Tonight, the precinct service is asking its officers in Boko to exercise restraint as it dispatches high-powered delegation to deal with bloody clash between its men and military officers stationed there. We have the latest. And later in the bulletin for Throwback Thursday, we take you down memory lane to some unforgettable stories from Ghana's English books in primary school. You want to stay with us for that and more. Also, we'll invite you to share your thoughts with us 055-11-11997. This is Newsnight. My name is Evans Mensah. Now, there are fears tonight of a possible grounding of Ghana's public pension scheme because a fresh audit report has revealed that the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, may not be able to pay full pension benefits to contributors by 2036. This is revealed in the latest International Labour Organization Actuarial Evaluation Report, it was submitted to the SNIT board. Now, labour unions in the past few weeks have taken on SNIT for failing to remit some of its tier 2 pension deductions to the fund managers. According to them, the last time government paid their tier 2 contributions was in June 2023, owing them 9 months deductions from July 2023 to March 2024. Now, speaking on PM Express, Executive Director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research, Abdullah Mashoud, reveals there is more to the problem.
You know, every 3 years, we have to get external actuaries to come into the country and assess the health of the scheme. In 2014, when the actuarial valuation was done, we were made to understand that the SNIT scheme is unable to pay benefits fully and on time by 2042. 3 years later, in 2017, another actuarial valuation done by ILO, they came into the country, did another actuarial valuation, and did indicate to the to policymakers and government that, look, remember we warned you in 2014, the scheme will not be able to pay benefit by 2042 in 2014. Now in 2017, it came down to 2037. 2037. Mm-hmm. That is 5 years down. As we speak, another actuarial valuation was put out in January this year, and the figure has come down to 2036.
So wait a minute. So this actuarial study says that by 2036,
yes,
SNIT will not be able to pay contributions.
It will not be able to pay benefits fully and on time. The reserves would have
been... Okay, it's not able to pay benefits fully and on time.
It is because the reserves would have depleted. That is, if nothing is done. And they have made a lot of recommendations in the actuarial valuation report. The Director General has the mandate to drive the provisions or the recommendations of the actuarial valuation report. We haven't seen anything like that. Even while, you know, across the world, people are reforming pensions in order to improve the long-term sustainability of schemes, we are sleeping here in Africa and in Ghana.
Well, reacting to this, the president of the National Association of Graduate Teachers, Angel Kabonu, and the director of research and policy at the Trades Union Congress, Dr. Kwabena Nyakowo, to ask SNIT to make this report public immediately?
I don't have the copy, and that is the point I said, that we should utilize our membership on the Senate board.
Yeah, but it's shocking, isn't it? You have members on the Senate board. An actual study has been done, and you don't have it. And Joe Kabono, have you seen a copy?
Absolutely not. They did not even announce whether
they were doing it.
And this says by 2036, they will be struggling to pay full benefits.
Exactly. If nothing is done. And they have no recommendations.
Sorry, Franklin.
It's not rocket science. I mean, if clearly speaking, government is not paying already, that's half of your contribution is gone anyway. And secondly, if the options to invest which you are receiving are also limited, and they are not doing proper investment because the politician is also interfering. Clearly, it tells you that the funds will dwindle anyway. Mm-hmm. So even without seeing the actuarial work, it's clear that by 2030, probably by 2030, we will not be able to do proper social security networking. And I think they need to go and learn what happened in, was it Peru? When people, I mean, there are special experts who have managed that country's pensions very, very, very well.
I need to quickly ask the workers. Kabunu, 30 seconds. Are you going to demand for this study? Because that tells you where your pensions are and what they are going to be, what's going to happen to them. Are you going to demand that?
We have to demand it and make it public.
Dr. Otu?
Absolutely. I mean, it says something about our representation on these institutions. You understand? So we definitely have to get hold of these actuarial studies.
Well, we have a copy of this actual valuation that was done. My colleague with the research desk, Kofi Ajay, joins me in the studio with details of this. So this document, what exactly is it?
Well, so Evans, this is a document or a report prepared by the International Labour Organization, and the title is A Report to the Board of Trustees of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust. And it's an actual evaluation of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust scheme as of 31st December 2020. And we understand that this report, as copied in it, was published in 2024.
So it is to the Board of Trustees.
Absolutely.
Of the presumption then is that it was handed to them when it was done.
Yeah, so now let's look at some of the key findings in the report. So according to the report, SNIT's reserves actually are depleting, and the total income will no longer be sufficient to pay benefits by 2036. Now, according to the report, if you look at the SNIT indebtedness, about 9.35 billion is the amount that is being owed SNIT as of 2021. Now, out of this, 6.9 billion is coming from government late payment. That's about 73.7% of the total indebtedness. Now, they say per every 1.3 drop in investment is as a result of late payment. And if care is not taken by 2036, the reserves will run, empty.
A late payment, and that is the problem now with the Tier 2 pensions.
Yeah.
And that's why the workers have given government a one-week ultimatum, which is what this actuarial evaluation is also talking
Absolutely.
About.
Now, according to the report, if government does not pay this money, so when they continue with this late payment, it's going to shift the importance, or it's going to shift the burden on the private sector, because it's supposed to be some contribution by government sector and then also the private sector. Now that the government is not doing it, this late payment, all the burden is going to be shifted to the private sector. And currently, 7.2 workers, let's use that ratio, their contribution is able to pay for one pensioner. But in the future, you have this reduced to just 2.9.
And that data you're quoting there is according to the National ILO. The ILO. Mm. But also, if you track the Pensions Regulatory Authority, also had similar numbers around this too. Thank you very much, Kofi, for that. And this is something we're watching pretty closely because it has to do with workers' pensions. I want to bring in right now Mashood Abdallah. He's Executive Director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research. Joins me right now. We'll be joined pretty shortly also by Angel Kabonu. He is a president of the National Association of Graduate Teachers. They held a press conference, spoke on behalf of organized labor, giving government 1 week ultimatum to pay up what they owe the Tier 2 pensions. We'll talk to him pretty shortly. But Abdallah, thanks for your time here on Newsnight again. This report makes for some grim reading. But from what I read, some things must change to avert, as arriving at this destination where SNITE struggles to pay benefits in full by 2036. Do we know what they must exactly do?
Yeah, good evening, and thank you to your listeners. 53 of the Act 766 stipulates that, I'm getting a feedback here. Can you hear me?
I can hear loud and clear.
Great, great. Since Section 53 of the Act 766 stipulates that an external actuarial evaluation is conducted on the scheme to really assess the exact health of the scheme. Accordingly, in 2014, as you mentioned, the evaluation was done. We're told that by 2042, the scheme reserves will run out. And what it simply means is that the scheme will not be able to pay benefits as scheduled and on time. The same thing was conducted in 2017. We're told 2037. The current actual valuation report that you are holding is actually covering the period 2018 to 2020. So what it means is that the period covering 2021 up to 2023, we don't know the exact state of the scheme. And that presents a major problem. We have been told that as the 31st of 2020, the scheme will not be able to pay benefits fully and on time by 2036. And I'm sure that as we speak, we don't know what actually happened to the scheme between what you did for 2021 and 2023, because another actual valuation was supposed to be out, but we don't have it. And that tells you the lack of consultation or the lack of engagement that we have in the system. And in all this, you ask what needs to change. The actual valuation report is actually supposed to be owned by Parliament, because it has been driven by, you know, provisions of the Act. Parliament has a very big role to play in here. The suggestion here is that there is a need for the Office of the Chief Actuary. Actually, he needs to summarize. Every time an actuarial valuation report is out, the Chief Actuary actually needs to summarize the results of the actuarial valuation report in language for the consumption of stakeholders of the scheme. And the stakeholders, we are talking about the contributors who are the real owners of the business. Parliament needs to step in very strongly and demand that any time actuarial valuation report is out, the Director General, in consultation or with the support of the Chief Actuary, need to come to Parliament and present that to Ghanaians, telling us that this is the current state of the scheme.
Yeah, but they must do something really substantive, beyond just, you know, the procedural issues that you've raised. I read that part of the problem is that SNITE is not paying on time. I mean, government is not paying the contributions on time.
There are quite a lot of factors that account for the current actuarial status. Of course, the actuarial status is that the scheme is not able to pay benefits fully and on time by 2036. There are a lot of factors that account for the actuarial opinion that has been expressed in there.
And what must change? What must change?
Dependency ratio is looking at the number of contributors who contribute into the system to support one pensioner. The dependency ratio has been decreasing over the period because the contributor population is not increasing as much as the pensioner population. And you know what happened between 2020 and 2023? A lot of people have migrated out of the country. That reducing the labor force. That is going to further impact on the dependency ratio. We also have administrative costs. The share of workers' contribution that is used to manage the scheme is very, very high. That is what is contained in that report. And something must be done in there.
Okay. Stay with me. I want to bring in Angel Kabonu. Angel Kabonu is a national president of NAGRAT, and they've given government 1 week ultimatum for government to pay up what they owe the two pensions. He joins me with an update, Mr. Kabonu. So it's been a few days since that press conference. Have you heard from government?
Yeah, but even still, the line was okay. All of a sudden, the line went down low again.
Okay, so is it better? Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I think it's better this
way. Okay, have you heard from government since the ultimatum?
No, we have not.
And this ultimatum expires when, today or tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow our ultimatum expires. However, next week after May Day, on the 2nd, the whole organized labor is going to take a decision on this. So we join the whole organized labor in the pursuit of this agenda.
And that decision that will be taking, what are you likely to consider? What are the options on the table?
Well, I will go. Well, I am a major stakeholder. I will go for the full hog because we are dealing with the survival, the livelihood of our senior citizens that the politician is toyed with. So, look, this ILO report came about, or the outcome of the ILO report is as a result of many factors, major, including government interference in the operation of SNIT and trying to impose on SNIT investment models that give us no positive return. Also, government's failure to remit to SNIT regularly and timeously resources that they have collected from workers are supposed to pay statutorily. Government trying to use SNIT as a fallback when they have an agenda to pursue, investing in areas that are not that do not make economic sense. All these and more have contributed to the situation we find ourselves.
And that's why now you say your position when you sit at the table with your colleagues will be, let's go for the ultimate. And the ultimate...
Yes, because you see, the politician cannot continue to be toying with our lives. All the problems that we face, just take them one after the other. It is because the politician is taking wrong decisions. Wrong decisions. Agenda that does not inure to the benefit of the Ghanaian worker.
I know some have also suggested that this decision that you're about to take should actually also result in not only strike but protests, hit the streets.
Is whatever it? Means we have to employ to put pressure on the government, we will have to employ it.
Mr. Kabundu, thank you very much. He's the president of the National Association of Graduate Teachers. Mashood Abdallah, executive director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research. A quick word from you, Mashood Abdallah. Having read the actuarial evaluation with that grim prediction, what is the most critical intervention that will save this scheme?
Because the actuarial evaluation report has recommended a possible increment in contribution rates through employer-employee contributions. That is what the actuarial evaluation is saying. So it will take a critical engagement of all the stakeholders within the space. And that is why it is important for government to engage the relevant stakeholders, which includes parliament, it includes the worker unions, it includes all civil society organizations, the employers' association. Everybody needs to come onto the table. Let's begin to discuss. Otherwise, what is going to happen is that we all wake up one morning and we are told that at best, what do you call? We are told that the scheme has gone to a halt, won't be able to pay benefits, and at best, benefits have to be reduced.
And that there is Mashood Abdallah, executive director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research. You're still listening to News Night. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. If you're a worker tonight, I want to hear from you on this 0551111997. Well, there is a real likelihood now that at sometime very soon, a chief justice in this country will be a dual citizen. The Supreme Court on Wednesday delivered a majority decision declaring as unconstitutional sections of the Citizen Act that barred dual citizens from holding high-ranking positions in Ghana, including the position of the Chief Justice, the Commissioner of the Value-Added Tax Service, and Chief Director of the Ministry. Well, the affairs by some that this may open the door for people who do not hold allegiance in this country to occupy such sensitive positions. We'll hear from a CDD fellow who says you should not fear. I want to bring in right now our head of our legal affairs desk, Kojo Nyako, who joins us in the studio. Kojo, let's break this down.
Well, so Evans, the plaintiff Francis Osebonsu sought, basically three reliefs. The first one is a declaration that Section 16.2A of the Citizenship Act 2000, Act 591, is null and void on account of having been passed in a manner that is inconsistent with and in contravention with Article 2892 of the 1992 Constitution. The second relief he sought was the declaration that Section 16.2H2L of the Constitution or of the Citizenship Act 2000 are null and void on account of having been passed in a manner that is inconsistent with and in contravention of Article 2892 of the 1992 Constitution, and the last one, an order striking down such provisions. So under the said provisions, the underlisted positions could not be occupied by a person who was a dual citizen. So the Chief Justice, the Commissioner of the Value Added Tax Service, Director General of the Prison Service, the Chief Fire Officer, a chief director of a ministry, the rank of a colonel in the army or its equivalent in other security services. And so these were what his reliefs were. But today, the Supreme Court has decided that these people, the ones that I just mentioned, can occupy such positions if they are dual citizens.
Okay, and many will be asking the question, what about members of parliament?
Well, so it's important to know that the Supreme Court in yesterday's decision did not touch Article 94.2A that disqualifies persons who owe allegiance to countries other than Ghana from becoming members of parliament. Also, another clarity is that Article 8.2 of the Constitution was also tight. Even though this also borders on dual citizens, this particular provision of the Constitution deals with dual citizenship, but the positions excluded under are ambassadors, high commission, secretary to cabinet, chief of defense staff, IGP, director of immigration service, and others. And so it has nothing to do with positions that relate or that do have their roots in the Constitution.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much, Kojo. Let's listen to CDD fellow Professor Kweku Asare, who's been reacting to the outcome of the Supreme Court decision.
No, there's no cause for worry. These are all ancient arguments. You know, Ghanaians celebrate justices who go to serve in the Supreme Court of other countries. Mm. So, for instance, Justice Doche used to serve in the Supreme Court of Gambia. Justice Brobe, Justice Apalu, a whole host of Ghanaian Supreme Court justices go to serve in the Supreme Court of other countries. We celebrate them. Mm. When people sit on the Supreme Court to decide cases, I will be shocked if they are sitting there saying, well, I am a Ghanaian and I'm also a Nigerian, therefore, I'm going to rule on the case differently. If there's a judge who thinks this way, then he has bigger problems than what people on the streets are worried about. Mm. Similarly, when you go to the United Kingdom, you don't even have to be a UK citizen to belong to parliament. If you are a Ghanaian and you have residence in UK, then by virtue of being a Commonwealth citizen only, you are entitled to contest for a seat in the Parliament of UK. Mm. It hasn't bothered them. It hasn't ended the democracy in United Kingdom. Let's go to Nigeria. As far back as 2000, maybe earlier, the Nigerian Supreme Court said that anybody who is a Nigerian cannot be disqualified from seeking public office or elective political office. In other words, the right to vote is intimately related to the right to be voted for. Mm. And therefore, anyone who has the right to vote also has the right to put himself up for other people to vote for him. Nothing has happened to Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Botswana, South Africa. All these countries have dual citizens actively participating, and nothing has happened. Mm. In Ghana, there are people who are dual citizens who are intimately related to the decision-making process,
right,
much more than single citizens. This has not ended the world. So we need to move into a different era where these archaic, obsolete, and vestigial concerns about other citizenships need to be consigned to the dustbin of history.
I want to bring in Ibrahim Amaliba. He's a director of conflict resolution at the National Democratic Congress. Joins us on the line right now. Ibrahim, progressive decision, is it not?
Say it again.
This decision by the Supreme Court is a progressive one, is it not?
Well, what the Supreme Court did yesterday amounts to what I would call judicial legislation, which is a usurpation of the powers of Parliament. Now, it has been turned upside down. It's the judiciary that is now making the laws and the legislature interpreting and applying them. The judiciary has no power to exclude or include offices that persons who have dual citizenship can occupy or not occupy. That right and power is within the legislature. And so to have the Supreme Court make that kind of judgment yesterday, because Article 82G has also been amended by what the judiciary did yesterday. Because 82G recognizes any act that it says that any office specified by an act of parliament. So that is provided in the Constitution. And what the judiciary, the Supreme Court did yesterday, amounted to amending the Constitution, not only the Act of Parliament.
I mean, but Ibrahim Amaliba, you're a lawyer, you know, the Supreme Court's jurisdiction is exactly what you've just described. If you bring a matter before them that borders on the Constitution, they can interpret that, and in interpreting it, it becomes law. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what the Supreme
they
Court...
They have struck down a provision in the Constitution. They have struck down Article 282G of the Constitution by tinkering with the Citizenship Act. They have tracked down an act of parliament, a provision in the law. And so, but more importantly, I have intelligence that this government intends to appoint more people to the Supreme Court, making it 19. And there is one nominee who has Canadian citizenship who they intend to, as it were, nominate. And so sometimes when these rulings come and the timing of it also creates problems for some of us.
I mean, but if this is something you're speculating may or may not happen in the future, I mean, you can't place any value on what you're suggesting. The Supreme Court looked at the law and did exactly what they are mandated and clothed with the authority to do.
This person has gone through the Judicial Council already, and this person is now going to be presented to Parliament for vetting. And so I'm not just blowing hot air. But it is important that if this were coming from Parliament, then I would be comfortable with. But to say that because the judiciary has power to interpret the law, this is not an interpretation. This is striking down a provision of the Constitution.
Yeah, and in my view, say that they don't have the power to do so?
No, they don't have the power to strike down a provision of the Constitution.
Based on what law?
Because all organs of state are under the Constitution. Parliament is under the Constitution. The Supreme Court and the judiciary is under the Constitution. And then the executive is under the Constitution. It's the people of Ghana who wrote that Constitution. Yeah. And if there's going to be any amendment, they must do it through the
Parliament. And there's
the
people of Ghana who gave the authority and the power to the Supreme Court to interpret the Constitution.
This is not an interpretation. I'm saying that what they have done, they've struck down Article 82G of the Constitution. That is not an interpretation.
Ibrahim Amaliba, thank you very much. He's the Director of Conflict Resolution of the National Democratic Congress. You're still live here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM, and I want to hear from you. 0551111997. It's now time for business, and James Sishan is here with the very latest. Hello, James.
Hello, Evans.
In business tonight, economist Professor Lord Mensa warns further delays in concluding debt restructuring exercise with bilateral creditors will continue to cause CD depreciation. And management of Ghana Stock Exchange announces plans to start rating listed companies to attract more investors. Business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN, Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks and Pepsodent Charcoal and Herbal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight with me, James Ishen. Let's settle for the details. First off, economist Professor Lord Mensa has underscored the need to quickly conclude debt restructuring program with bilateral creditors to help stabilize the cedi. His comment comes after the cedi hit 14 cedis to a dollar at the Forex bureaus. Speaking to Joy Business, Professor Mensa said the market will always react to expectations, hence the need to manage the process to save the cedi from further depreciating.
Yeah, further delay, I mean, is definitely going to have impact on the exchange rate because, like I said earlier, we've been managing the exchange rate with expectations of some of these inflows. And it used to be inflows from cocoa syndicated loan, inflows from Eurobond market. And now we've exhausted all of them. Cocoa syndicated loan, we can't rely on it so much. Even government has deferred, you know, its cocoa beans delivery for this year. So the main inflow that we're looking at, which is quite substantial, is the IMF inflow. Though the expectations, further delay can cause a problem.
That was economist Professor Lord Mensa there speaking. Now, the managing director of the Ghana Stock Exchange, Abinamwa, has disclosed that the boss will start rating performance of companies. She's of the view such a step will help attract more investors to the exchange and invest in companies doing well. Speaking to Joy Business, Ms. Amwa said, involving rating agencies on the stock exchange is one of the best moves to also make trading visible to the public.
In addition to this, we need to develop a ratings culture, which means that companies and issuers and the issuances they'll make will have to be rated. They'll have rating agencies that will advise investors or that will pronounce a view on the ratings of those companies to enable investors to make informed decisions. We are very excited about that.
Abinamwa is the managing director of the Ghana Stock Exchange. Now, the vice chairman of the Liquefied Petroleum Gas Marketers Association of Ghana, Gabriel Kumia, stated that the numerous taxes imposed by government on the product has made Ghana one of the countries with the highest LPG prices in the world. Speaking to Joy Business, Mr. Kumi said the situation defeats the plan to move the country from the use of firewood to the use of safe energy like LPG.
In fact, Ghana's LPG currently is one of the highest in the world. Ghana's LPG price is one of the highest, not in West Africa, not in Africa, but in the whole wide world. Ghana's LPG. If you are looking at the countries that charges the highest price, pump price for LPG, Ghana is one of them, okay? So we have been very, very consistent and persistent about the need for us to take off these taxes. You see, the irony of the situation is that in 2019, 2020, government set an objective to increase consumption of LPG from the then 25% penetration level to 50% by the year 2030. We applauded government and said, look, that this is a laudable objective to set, but you can't eat your cake and have it.
Gabriel Kumi is the vice chairman of the Liquefied Petroleum Gas Marketers Association of Ghana. The German corporation, in collaboration with Ghana TVET Service, has launched the Female Talent in Construction Project. The initiative is designed to equip young graduates, particularly females, with the industry required skills for employment in the construction center. The team lead for the project, John Duty, said the project seeks to increase participation of women in the construction center, which currently stands at 3%.
We have lots of females in high positions in the built environment. But believe me, if you go to construction site, we all see that. And you see them in white helmets. Most of them are males. So we want to change that narrative to have much more females in the construction center. So in the near future, when you go to any construction site, it's men and women working hand in hand to ensure that they cross-fertilize each other in terms of skills to improve on the construction subsector in Ghana.
John Duty as the team lead for Invest for Jobs at the German corporation GIZ. Now, Tobinco Pharmaceutical Limited, as part of its corporate social responsibility, has donated medicines worth 250,000 cedis to the Lekma Hospital and other hospitals in Kumasi. According to head of marketing at Tobinco, Dr. Nanaya Wapiamwa, said the gesture is aimed at helping patients who are unable to afford medications for their ailment.
Lekma sees about 3,500 patients every week, and there's quite a percentage out there who are not able to afford the medications when they come here. The question is, what would you do if a patient comes, has malaria, and cannot pay? We already know that for the hospitals, their finances are already stretched. What do they do? So this is where Tobinco comes in, where we've provided medicines that can actually help in treating some of these patients when they come and they can't afford. They get it for free, and they get well. It means to Lekma huge deal because of the medicine that we brought in to treat the disease that they have currently.
Dr. Nanayo Apia Amwa is the head of marketing at Tobinco Pharmaceuticals. And that ends it for business on Newsnight with me, James Ishen. Over to you, Evans.
And thank you very much, James. And you're still live here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, some residents of a coastal community near Kolegono here in Accra are calling on authorities to deal with the indiscriminate dumping of garbage into the drainage systems in parts of the capital, Accra. They say they are bearing the direct brunt of the act, which has resulted in the heavy pollution of ocean and the beach there. Now, some fishermen in the community also say they now catch plastics instead of fish. Maxwell Abagba was there and now reports for our filth exhibition series.
Let us learn to keep Ghana clean.
Welcome to the Odo drainage system, which runs through the capital, Accra. Here, trash reigns supreme. This drainage system is responsible for carrying wastewater from different parts of the country directly into the ocean. But now, it has additional role carrying plastics and trash.
We're going to have recreational facilities. That is the sea outfall. So along we have recreational facilities. Other infrastructure we can have.
Flashback to 2019, where officials proudly showcased plans to transform the Odo Drain into a recreational paradise, complete with yachts and cruise boats gliding through its waters. Fast forward 5 years, and the only thing cruising are more plastic bags. Those who suffer the effects are residents living around the coastal areas close to the Odo Drain, where it enters the ocean. I'm in one of the communities near Jamestown, and here I've met one of the residents who is a fisherman. John Yaku no longer goes for fishing expedition but plastic expeditions, as his nets catches more plastics than fish. He says the plastics are destroying our outboard motors. Sometimes they get entangled with it. Previously, we used to do communal labor before the onset of the rains. But we don't do that again. It comes from upstream. The people up there pollute the drainage system, he said. Samonikwe Jani believes more dustbins will prevent heavy pollution of the drainage system.
Everybody will make a dust, rubbish. You always put in gutter. Gutter near him, or maybe lagoon near him. So when the rain fall, you always throw to the Kole Lagoon, and the Kole Lagoon to throw it into the beach.
Another resident, Patrick Lamte, is incensed about the situation. He said there are no bins, so those who live close to the Odo Drain and the Kole dump their garbage in them. We are suffering because some people have to pay one cedi before they dump their garbage or defecate, so they do it illegally.
Let us learn to keep Ghana clean.
Remember, keep Ghana clean. We'll be coming to a community near you for a filth exhibition You really don't want that to be your hood. And join our social media campaign. You can take a video, a picture of the filth situation where you are and share with us. And let's draw attention to what we see in our neighborhoods. As you know, the rainy season is coming and you don't want to have choked drains that then leads to flooding. And that's what we are doing, this filth exhibition. Join the campaign. Guess who's joining me right now? Ms. Bao is here with the latest on the world of sports.
Yeah, Evans, we are building up to that big game on Sunday between Dreams FC and Zamalek. It's the second leg of the CAF Confederations Cup semi-final. It's just one game away from final spot and for Dreams FC. Great performance thus far. Meanwhile, the opponent, the Egyptian Premier League side, Zamalek Sporting Club, they have arrived in Kumasi ahead of that game. Well, the North African side landed earlier this afternoon to intensify their preparations for that crucial fixture come Sunday. Now, the two teams, of course, are set to clash at the RAS Stadium, where the hosts are aiming to leverage their home crowd for support. Dreams FC did hold the Egyptian side to a goalless draw in Cairo last weekend, despite playing in front of a very, very intimidating crowd. Now, Zamalek are also seeking to be the first team to defeat Dreams FC at home in this competition. Of course, with Dreams yet to lose at their home ground. Meanwhile, the Northern Regional Football Association chairman, Alhaji Abu Hassan, has been rallying the team to pull off a surprise victory and advance to the finals come Sunday.
Zamalek has the name Dreams FC. Dreams FC is determined to write history. And so far, I think they've defied all odds in trying to rewrite the script. Nobody gave them a dog's chance against the Malian side. But they went there and then they managed to come home with 3 points. Against Zamalek, I'm equally looking forward to another surprise. So let's just keep our fingers crossed and then see what happens.
That's Alhaji Abu Hassan, the Northern Regional RFA chairman. Well, Evans, that's it for sports. Come Sunday, the gates are open for free, so all brothers and sisters in Kumasi can turn up at the Babara Sports Stadium and support Dreams FC in that crucial game against Zamalek.
Thank you very much. Well, it has emerged that some party members and supporters of the opposition National Democratic Congress have already started sharing positions among themselves in anticipation of victory in the 2024 elections. Now, speaking at the event to outdoor the NDC's 2024 running mate, the national chairman of the party, Johnson Sudan Ketia, said such behavior shows complacency.
It's the risk of complacency. The polls figures tend to create a picture that we have already won. I like to caution everybody that we have not won yet. We are on the way to victory. But let's guard against complacency. Because we are already convinced that we are there, a lot of people have begun taking positions and fighting over who will be what in the next government. Indeed, some people are not only fighting about the positions they will occupy. They are telling all others that they will be the kingmakers and they will be making their appointments. If we are not careful, this will dampen the enthusiasm and the spirit of our followers. So I want to assure everybody that we are not there yet. Don't be fighting about positions and don't be struggling about who will make appointments. Let us all go for the hunting first. And when we kill the game, we now argue about how to share the meat.
Well, the man himself responded to this. I'm talking about the former president, John Mahama. He announced to the government that he hasn't prepared any list of persons for appointment just yet.
Let me say that I don't have any list. And so for those of them who were referred to by general as having chosen their positions, you may be very, very deeply disappointed.
Well, meanwhile, at the event to adore the NDC running mate, Professor Jinan Opoku Adjuman, that event also served as an avenue for NDC functionaries to attack the vice president and the flag bearer of the governing New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia. The general secretary of the NDC, Fifi Kwete, claimed Dr. Bawumia has brought the office of the vice president into disrepute.
In the last 8 years, we have seen the office that she hopefully is going to assume brought to its lowest level. That office has become an office that is simply the epitome of deception, the epitome of lack of credibility, the epitome of lack of trustworthiness, the epitome of corruption, and the epitome of taking this country to a level where governance has become just a joke. False promises, lies. In you, Nana Jane, we see an individual who is not just about integrity, but an individual who helped to restore that office to the place it used to be. Restore that office to the place Atamios of blessed memory took it when he became the vice president of our country. The place where John Dramani Mahama took that office when he became the vice president of. In fact, I actually will say, and to a lesser extent, the place that former vice president Aliyu Mahama took that office. That office today has been degraded, has become the epitome of disgrace. And you, Nana Jane, we believe will help restore that office to the place of honor. We know that your heart is in the right place. Your heart is in the right place to help the flag bearer of our party, to help to restore hope again to this country. A place where we do not expect that as vice president you are going to know everything, but at least you have the honor not to lie to the people of Ghana. When, for example, we are in what you call energy crisis, and you preside over a country and economic system that lies to the country that there's no problem. Where there is suffering and you lie to the people of Ghana, there's no suffering, everything is fine. It's just Russia and Ukraine. We believe that you will help restore this office to the place it ought to be.
Well, Dennis Miracles Obwaje is the Director of Communications for the Vice President, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia's 2024 campaign, joins us right now. Dennis, what's your reaction to what you just heard?
Well, first of all, I think I want to congratulate the NDC for successfully adoring the unit. These are very important landmark successes for us as a country. The kind of democracy we are building, a multi-party system we are building, it's quite impressive. But otherwise, I really don't pick any other thing from this conversation. There's a group of people who gathered in a room to tell us about every other thing that is wrong with this country and nothing about what they believe is a viable alternative to all the things that they outline. There's a group of people who are vying for the same position that they were given some 7 years ago and basically did opposite of every single thing they are talking about today. I hear Fifi Kwete and I couldn't help but laugh. Because really, what is he talking about? Maybe he just excites his party people. He talks about energy crisis. You are calling out a government that has kept this country's energy on stable for 7 good years out of 8 years. And for 9 weeks, I've gone through disruption. You are calling us out. Tell me, since 1992, mention one government that has been able to keep energy power on for 7 good years like this government has done. And so if you stand in front of the people of Ghana and tell them that, hey, here we are, vote for us to come to power, what are you coming to the table with? They should vote the government that kept the power on for 7 years. They should vote that government out because you've had disruption for 9 weeks and bring you a government that kept us in darkness for 3 to 4 years. Is that what he's saying?
Well, what about the accusation that you've debased the office of the vice president?
When he was saying that, I was expecting him to lower his voice and keep his eye closely and directly on the first row in the room. His flag bearer, who was president and was vice president, is the one that brought shame, global shame, to the office of the vice president. Mention one scandal, one thing that you have that is a negative that has brought shame and scandals to the office of the president. Or vice president, since Dr. Mahmood Bawumia became vice president. Mention just one. When his flag bearer was vice president, his own attorney general indicates that the president at the time, who is his own president, instituted an investigation against him for his alleged involvement in some corrupt practices as vice president. Is there anything that beats that? Forget even that. When he became president, it continued. As a certain president, he is the only one in the history of this country that is known to have been involved in some corrupt practices. In fact, he admitted receiving a vehicle from a contractor, only that he says, I didn't use the vehicle for my personal self, my personal use, but I put it in the pool. That is his flag bearer. And so I was expecting him to rather lower his voice and keep his eye on the front row. So because the people he was trying to speak to are right there in the room with him. Fifi Kweti has no credibility when it comes to these things, these entrances. You remember this is the same person that was leading the NDC propaganda when they were in opposition and spilled out so many lies up until when they finally got into power. He went to parliament for vetting. He was confronted with the lies when he said that Kufuor and the MPP government had stolen all the gold from Bank of Ghana and cooked up so many lies. And then eventually when he was confronted, he lifted his hands and said that it was just politics. Well, how do we take such a person serious on utterances like this?
On the subject of running mates, though, just before I let you go, because in the interest of time, when is Bawumia announcing his? Because we're told at the end of April.
I don't know who actually put the end of April timeline out. You know that we are well within our timelines as a political party. I mean, the MPP, even Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia himself, was nominated in August 2008. So we are well within our timeline.
Yeah,
I can tell you without any doubt that Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, as we speak, knows who he's going to nominate as his running mate. He's known it for the past 3-4 months. But at the right time, within our own timelines, within our own strategy, we would name and outdoor the running mate. I mean, former President Bahama has been candidate since May 2023. It's taking him almost a whole year before naming his running mate. Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia was elected barely 6 months ago. I think we should give him some space to so we can work within our own strategy and timelines. At the right time, it will be named. I mean, it can.
Okay. Thank you very much, Miracles. I'm grateful that you joined us with your thoughts on this. And just before we go, there's a statement coming in from the National Communications Authority, an update on the situation with the internet disruptions that we saw a few weeks back.
Yes, indeed, a positive one. The National Communications Authority, they are saying that they've approved the application of SpaceX Starlink Ghana Limited. They are the operators of Starlink satellite broadband to offer satellite broadband services in Ghana. And they explained that the approval of the application follows the policy approval of the satellite licensing framework in Ghana by the Ministry of Communications and Digitalization. The administrative processes towards the issuance of the license is ongoing and will be completed shortly. And Evans, what we experienced was because we had all our cables supplying internet coming through the undersea system. This one will be via satellite.
Thank you, Fred Smith, with that update for you. And that's it for Newsnight. Tonight, Dr. Patrick Kwaku Ofori, who is the CEO of a chamber of bulk oil distributors, is on Personality Profile. Stay here on Joy 99.7 FM.